Search the Scriptures.
Search the Scriptures.
Say that again.
Search the Scriptures.
For in them ye think you have eternal life.
For in them ye think you have eternal life.
And they are they which testify of me.
And they are they which testify of me.
Search the Scriptures.
Search the Scriptures.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
This Bible contains 3,566,480 letters. It has 773,692 words. It has 31,173 verses. And also 1,189 chapters. This book contains the mind of God, the state of man, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true, and its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, and practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's charter. Here, paradise is restored, heaven is open, and the gates of hell disclosed. Christ is its grand subject, our good its design, and the glory of God its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. It is given to you in life and will be opened at the judgment and be remembered forever. It involves the highest responsibility and rewards the greatest labor, and it condemns all who trifle with its holy contents. This book contains Jehovah's mind. This voice salutes in accents kind. This friend will all our needs supply. This fountain sends forth streams of joy. This mind affords us boundless wealth. This good physician gives us health. This sun renews and warms the soul. This sword both wounds and makes us whole. This letter shows our sins forgiven. This guide conducts us safe to heaven. This charter has been sealed with blood. This volume is the Word of God. The Bible is divided into two divisions, commonly called the Old Covenant or Old Testament, the New Testament or the New Covenant. There are 39 books in the Old and 27 in the New, 66 books in all. In the Bible library in the Old Testament, you will find 5 law books, 12 history books, 17 poetry books, and 5 prophecy books. In the New Testament, you will find 4 gospel books, 1 history book, 21 letters to Christians, and 1 prophecy book. These 66 books, which contain over 30,000 promises, were written in 3 different languages, Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic. The period of the composition of these books extends over 1,500 years. They were written in countries hundreds of miles apart. Over 40 different human authors had a part in writing the Bible. They were written by men upon every plane of political and social life. From the king upon his throne, down to the herdsman, the shepherd, the fisherman, and the petty politician. The Bible also displays every known form of literary structure. We not only have in the Bible both prose and poetry, but we have in the Bible every known form of prose and poetry. We have in the Bible epic poetry, lyric poetry, didactic poetry, erotic poetry, elegy, and rhapsody. We also have in the Bible every known form of prose. We have in the Bible historic prose, didactic prose, epistolary prose, argument, theological treatise, proverb, parable, apothegm, allegory, satire, and oration. As the poet said, "With the Spirit of God is my guide, I entered up the portico call of Genesis, walked down the corridor of the Old Testament art galleries, with pictures of Noah, Abraham, Moses, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Aaron, Joshua, Gideon, Samuel, David, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, hang on the wall. I passed into the music room of the Psalms, where the Spirit of God sweeps the keyboard of nature until it seems that every reed and pipe in God's great organ responds to the harp of David, the sweet singer of Israel. I enter the chamber of Ecclesiastes, where the voice of the preacher is heard, and on to the conservatory of Sharon and the lily of the valley, where sweet spices fill and perfume my life. I entered the business office of Proverbs, and on into the observatory of the prophets, where I saw telescopes of various sizes, pointing to far-off events, concentrating on the bright morning star, which was to arise above the moonlit hills of Judea for our salvation and redemption. I entered the audience room of the King of Kings, catching a vision written by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. From there, I went into the correspondence room with Paul, Peter, James, John, and Jude writing their epistles. I stepped into the throne room of Revelation, where tower the glittering peaks, where sits the King of Kings upon his throne of glory, with the healing of the nations in his hand. And I cried out, "Oh, hail the power of Jesus' name! Let angels prostrate fall, bring forth the royal diadem, and crown him Lord of all." Hallelujah.
Praise God.
In the Constitutional Convention of our great United States, many of the framers of our Constitution spoke rather frequently. Roger Sherman spoke 138 times. Governor Morris spoke 173 times. Wilson spoke 168 times. And Madison spoke 161 times. But were many orators to speak tonight, they could only express a meager measure of the greatness of the Bible. As a river is above a rill in reach, as an orchard is above a twig in bearing fruit, as the sun is above a lantern in brilliance, so the Bible is above all of the books this world may have in excellence and glory. This supreme book, supernatural in origin, divine in authorship, human in penmanship, infallible in authority, inexhaustible in its adequacy, a miracle book of diversity in unity, inspired in totality, personal in application, regenerative in power, inestimable in value, immeasurable in power. This book, unsurpassed in literary beauty, unrivaled and unexampled among all the books of the world. It is a complete code of laws, the most entertaining and authentic history ever published, the best covenant ever made, the best deed ever written, the best will ever executed. You hear this preacher tonight. The accuracy of the statements of the Bible are substantiated and authenticated by every turn of the excavator's spade in Bible lands, by multitudinous inscriptions deciphered among classic ruins, by the interpretation of all Egyptian hieroglyphics. From rusty coins and corroded marbles, we find confirmation of the accuracy of the Bible. Infinite in height, infinite in depth, infinite in scope. Volumes that would fill the shelves of many libraries have been written on single chapters, yea, single verses. And yet these chapters and verses remain as fresh, as fertile, as inexhaustible as ever. This book, my brother, tonight, is the fountain in which dying martyrs have cooled their hot faces. This book, my brother, is the pillow on which saints of all ages have rested their weary heads. It breaks the fetters of the slave. It takes the heat out of life's fierce fever, the sting out of death, the pain out of parting, the gloom out of the grave. This book, addressing itself to the universal conscience, this book, which is the standard of universal morals, is wonderful in its inspiration, translation, preservation, unification, salvation, and sanctification. I'm telling you tonight from my heart, it is free from earthly mixtures. It is original. It is unborrowed. It is solitary in its greatness, outliving all other books as a mighty factor in salvation. This book is what makes churches to breathe and to grow. To breathe and to grow. I want to tell you tonight that this is the greatest treasure we have, possessing the wonder of self-authentication, validated and certified and confirmed by the Spirit of the living God. This Bible is above all other books that have ever been written. Forever, it's as glorious as a starry night and as fresh as the break of day. Standard of universal morals, source of the church's law and order, withstanding the hostile criticism of centuries, immune against the ravages of time, the oldest and yet the freshest of all books. This is the treasury of the ages. This is the custodian of the heritage of the years. This is the reflection of the past, the mirror of the present, and the prophecy of the future. This book has tomorrow's headlines in it. I agree with Patrick Henry when he said, "This book is worth all other books put together ever printed." I say the Bible is the Word of God tonight. It's the absolute book of the ages. Psalms 119:89 said, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Forever! Forever! Psalms 119, verse 152, "Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever." Isaiah 40, verse 8, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." Jesus said in Matthew 5:18, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." Matthew 24:35, Jesus repeated again, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." 1 Peter 1:23, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. It's the book of the ages. It's the book of the ages. Other men's books are their books, but this is God's book. It's His eternal, irrevocable, unalterable, unmovable, immeasurable, unfathomable word that will stand and live forever and ever and ever and ever. I like about the Bible, it's food for the soul. Food for the soul. Deuteronomy 8:3, God told Israel, and He humbled thee, and suffered thee the hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that He might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. This is food for the soul. Job 23:12, Job said, neither have I gone back from the commandment of His lips. I have esteemed the words of His mouth more than my necessary food. David said in Psalms 119:103, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Jeremiah 15:16, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I'm called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Matthew 4:4, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. I say this is food for the soul. I say this is food for the soul. This Bible is divinely inspired. 2 Timothy 3:16 said, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. 2 Peter 1:21 said, for the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This is not a novel, a newspaper article, the convenience of a man's mind. This is God's word, His thoughts, His actions, His character, His feelings, His emotion, His personality. It's divinely inspired, and I love it tonight, don't you? I'm telling you tonight that searching the scriptures, we will not get into carnal fog banks and lose sight of spiritual realities. Binding the Bible to our eyes, seeing what is mirrored in the perfect law of righteousness. Binding the Bible to our hands, doing what God commands. Binding the Bible to our feet, walking in the pathway of righteousness. Binding the Bible to our hearts, making it our counselor. I tell you, saints of God, if we'll make this our creed and motto, our battle cry, the sum and substance of our Christian living, we will not, I repeat, we will not hand down our wonderful Pentecostal spiritual legacy to our children, reduced in quantity and quality. I want my children to know the truths that I know. I want my children to know the truths that I know tonight in the Word of God. That's the reason you must hide it in your heart. Must become as precepts written in your heart. Deuteronomy 6:6 declared, these words which I have spoken unto thee this day shall be in thine heart. Deuteronomy 11:18, therefore shall you lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them as a sign upon your hands, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. David said in Psalms 37:31 about a certain man, the law of his God is in his heart, none of his steps shall slide. Oh, hallelujah! Oh, hallelujah! Psalms 40 verse 8, David said, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Psalms 119 verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Hallelujah. In Romans chapter number 10 and verse 8, the Bible said, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. 2 Corinthians 3:3, for as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistles of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in the fleshly tables of the heart, of the heart. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. In Hebrews 8 verse 10, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind, and I'll write them in their heart, and I'll be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. My God, we need to hide it away. We need to store it away. We need to place it away. If there ever was a time, some of you need to quit reading the Good Housekeeping and Life or Look or Time or Newsweek magazine and quit some of this running around that's so unnecessary and take the Bible and begin to hide it in your heart. Hide it in your heart. Hide it in your heart. I believe it's now. My subject tonight, in case I neglected to mention it again and again, is the Bible, one of Pentecostal's greatest assets. Burn our buildings to the ground. Give me the Word of God and we'll rise like the fabled phoenix bird from the ashes to be stronger than ever. Burn our pews. Chase us into the caves and catacombs. But give me the Word of God and I shall rise again. Hallelujah. Amen. We've got to put this in our hearts. There's danger on the horizon. There's danger, danger. I love my country. My country has been a great country, a harbor for the outcasts. But oh, America's in trouble tonight. If there ever was a time, we need Bibles in our schools, Bibles in the White House, and Bibles in the halls of Congress. If there ever was a time, we need Bible-believing, Bible-practicing politicians and leaders. It's now. We need a return to old-fashioned Bible living and reading and preaching and praying. Oh, God, here's the key, teacher. Here's the key, mayor. Here's the key, Mr. President. Here's the key, United Nations. Here's the key, drunkard. Here's the key, dope addict. Here's the key, gambler. Here's the key, church. Here's the key, preacher. I see trouble for America. Oh God, we need to turn back. Even as a church, we need to go back. Oh, it really disturbs me. And I'm about as welcome some places as a skunk at a lawn party, because I make it known. I believe it's a stench in the nostrils of God when we can quote the manual better than we can quote the Bible. I believe it's ridiculous if you can quote song after song, title after title, and can hardly quote a verse from the Bible. Oh, God, we're asleep tonight. Church, wake up. Here's our defense. Here's our offense. Here's our God. Here's our power right here. I'm going to tell you tonight from my heart, America, Church of Baytown too, unless by bringing the Bible back, We can see past the dark material to the luminous spiritual. We're going to go the way of old Babylon, which in spite of all of her power, she became a vermin-infested, animal-filled jungle. And lest by taking our eyes off of gold and silver and houses and lands and cars and clothes and shoes and put them on the treasures of spiritual reality, we're going to go the way of Nineveh, which with all of her winged lions symbolizing victory became. She's nothing more tonight than a dirty doormat for irreverent feet. Oh, God, unless by bringing the Bible back, America, we can see past the works of the flesh to the fruit of the Spirit. We're going to go the way of Rome. She used to rule the world, but tonight she's a branchless tree, dishonorably fruitless. I believe in education, but I taught a principle no later than Monday of this week or Tuesday of this week. I said ignorance, I believe, is a scourge, Mr. Principal, but I believe knowledge void of the fear of God is a worse scourge. If there ever was a time we need God-fearing, Bible-believing teachers and educators in our schools, I believe it's now. Hallelujah. But oh, America, oh, church, unless by bringing the Bible back, we can see past carnality to spirituality. We're going to go, regardless of all of our educational institutions and ivy-covered towers of higher learning, we're going to go the way of old Greece, which with all of her culture and all of her education, she's nothing more tonight than a molded crust in history's garbage can. She's a relic of a bygone era. She's a castaway. Oh, sin is a repulse to any people. Hear this preacher, I'm preaching my heart tonight. There's more to this than running the aisles. There's more to this than jumping up and down. There's more to this than singing and feeling good. You gotta hide this in your heart. You gotta put it in your life. You gotta make it your roadmap. Hallelujah. Let me go on. I must hurry. My heart is full tonight. But let me tell you, unless by bringing the Bible back, we can pray through like we need to pray through and be the saints and the people that we need to pray. We need to be. I'm telling you, we're going to go. America's going to go. Going to go the way of Egypt. Oh, yes. Yes, Egypt used to have power. But tonight she's nothing more than a shabby sexton for splendid tombs. You can walk amidst the Pharaoh tombs, look at the Sphinx, walk in the land of antiquity. But Egypt don't have the power she used to have. God's gonna reign, people. God's gonna live. Righteousness is going to exalt a nation. But sin is a reproach to any people. I'm telling you, I'm telling you, I'm telling you tonight. Unless we can come to the realization that the spiritual things are worth more than the natural, we're going to go the way of Spain, America. Oh, America, we're going to go the way of Spain. You remember the piratical ships of Spain at one time, harnessed and harassed all the nations of the world. Spain was a power to be reckoned with. But tonight, she's nothing more than an old drowsy beggar watching a broken clock. She's demented and cast on the sidelines amidst the nations of the world. America, wake up! Your strength is not in intercontinental ballistic missiles. Your strength is not in the bombers and the hydrogen bomb and the educational places of higher learning. Your strength is not in your billion-dollar banks. Your strength is not in your farms and your cities. But your strength is in the Word of God. Wake up, America! Let me tell you something, church. I point my finger at you tonight. I want to leave this town with a clean heart. But I'm going to tell you, church, unless we as Pentecostals can understand, this is what born us, bred us, brought us, saved us, supplanted us, supplied us, succored us. This This is what has kept us, this word. And why do we cast it off now? Why does it become a centerpiece on the mantle? Why is it just on the coffee table? The Bible is our strength. Listen to me, church. There was other great churches before us. I haven't time to talk much about this, but you could go to the history of Methodism. There used to be good old shouting Methodists. There one time was Baptists received the Holy Ghost in the old days and lived right. You could go down the line of church after church after church that did at one time have some kind of an experience with God, but they rejected the Word of God in its full truth. And where are they tonight? But I'm going to tell you, Pentecost, unless we keep the Bible in our churches and in our pulpits and keep it on the front pew and keep it in before our people's faces and preach it 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 and preach it. I'm here to tell you tonight, unless we do that from our heart, we're not going to be nothing more, and nothing more is going to happen than just simply the pallbearers that carried these other churches to their graves are going to do work for Pentecost. Maybe the feet of the pallbearers like Ananias and Sapphira are right at the door. Don't kid yourself, they tell. Just because you got a good crowd and a beautiful building don't mean that you're not going to lose out with God. We need to hold on tenaciously with a death grip on the horns of the altar. If there ever was a time this Bible needs to be preached, it's now. I make no bones about it. Shall we go forward with the Bible or backward without it? Let me tell you, this Bible will finish a light in darkness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Psalms 19 and 8 said, the commandments of the Lord are pure. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Have you never read Psalms 119:105? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Verse 130, the entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Proverbs 6:23, for the commandment is a lamp and the law is light, and the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. 2 Peter 1:19 tells us, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. For all some of you are in darkness tonight. If it wasn't for embarrassment, I in the Spirit of God right now could point my finger at some of you. But if the trumpet was to blow, I discern you're not going to get one foot off the ground. You haven't been what you should have been. You haven't put your priorities straight. You're not right in the sight of God. You're wandering in darkness. You're confused. You're in a fog bank. Let me tell you, this word, this Bible, will give you a light in darkness, as a light that shineth in a dark place. Until the day dawn and day star rise in your hearts. Oh, thank God he's coming. Aren't you glad for that tonight? Hallelujah. 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 I challenge you again. Shall we go forward with the Bible or backward without it? I won't go much into history, but you know what happened when Gutenberg invented the movable type printing press. He profoundly aroused civilization. What did he do, preacher? He gave the Bible to the people. Before that, it was chained to the pulpits. Before that, it was kept way locked up in caves. But with the movable type printing press, an average everyday man and woman had access to the Word of God. And with the Bible in their hand, the people rose up to freedom, out of which came the Reformation. Oh, hallelujah. The Bible can still bring revival. I'm going to tell you, my brother, if this can't bring us revival, we're not going to have it. If this can't cure sin, sin can't be cured. If this won't defeat the devil can't be defeated. Here's our hope right here. You have but to read in Ezra's day. The reading of the recovered Bible in Ezra's day brought reformation, revival, and great gladness. And it'll do the same today. But I'm going to tell it to you straight. A Bible not read is no Bible at all. You hear me? The Bible that's not read is no Bible at all. What use is your Bible if you don't read it, if you don't study it, if you don't pray over it, if you don't hide it in your heart. I said, a Bible not read is no Bible at all. Only a Bible that you read can become a force in your character molding, or in your personality building, or in anything you accomplish for God. Oh, hallelujah! Hallelujah! It'll furnish a light in darkness. I'm telling you from my heart tonight, if you are a child of God, you say you've got the Holy Ghost, you say you've been born of water and of the Spirit, I believe the Bible, the Word of God, is loved by the saints. You show me a saint that are going to sleep under the anointing ministry of the Word of God, I'll show you a so-called saint that's not where they ought to be. If there's anything that ought to electrify your mind and captivate your attention, if there's anything that ought to hypnotize you, if there's anything that ought to reach out and grab you, it's when the Word of God is being preached. Hallelujah! I said it's loved by the saints. Let me document that. Psalms 119:47. David said, and I will delight myself in thy commandments which I have loved. Psalms 119:72. Some of you working double shifts, and some of you that's chasing a dollar. I'm not talking about those of you that are working and don't really want all that extra money, but you have to keep your jobs. But some of you not content with one car, got to have two. Not content with just two or three suits, you got to have a closet full. Not content with just a decent house, you got to have a mansion. Not content with just a few shoes, you got to have more. Consequently, you're working longer hours than what you should. Consequently, you're short-circuiting your spirituality. Let me tell you what David said. Psalms 119:72. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. I'm going to tell you, I'd rather have the gold in here than what's in the Klondike. I'd rather have the gold in here than what's in Fort Knox. I'd rather have the gold in here. You see, the stock market can crash, the banks can fail, and people can steal your money, but they can't steal what's in your heart. They can't steal it. Hallelujah! In verse 82 of Psalms 119, David said, mine eyes fail for thy law, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? That means he read it so much he was blown out. Be honest with me. Some of you read Zane Grey, or maybe Huckleberry Farm, or some other maybe decent reading, not necessarily trash, but you stayed up till the dawn greeted you. You read newspaper accounts and the fuzzy accounts of other people's personal lives from a stinking Inquirer or some cruel magazine. And so your eyes got blurry and you had to go to bed. Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you read the Word of God till your eyes failed for you? It's just a verse a day going to get the job done. If there ever was a time, the church needs young men and young women that will give themselves and pour out themselves in a dedicated, systematic study of the Word of God, that they may be equipped to fight the devil. It's now. Oh, you young men, I'll preach to you from the heart. Consecrate yourself. Dedicate yourself. Let God put His Word in your heart. Verse number 97, David said, oh, how love I thy law. It's my meditation all the day. Verse 140 of Psalms 119, thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. Most magazines and even newspapers are nothing more than scandal sheets. The headlines captivate themselves on some weird incident to sell copies. Oh, there's very little purity. Oh, but I can tell you, thy word is very pure. You want to read a love story? Read the love the Creator had for His creation. You want to read drama? Follow David as he walked out and faced a man almost twice his size. If you want something, my friend, as a cliffhanger and a barn burner, walk with Moses as he stood there stiff as a ramrod and stretched that arm out with that rod and the